The reason we gather together is to worship His holy name and to do it with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Forget the world, forget people. Worship God. This is the truth. We're going to Uganda next year, and it'll be the last 2 weeks of April. Not as I had suggested before, maybe the last week of April and the first week of May. So the last 2 weeks, anyone want to go to Uganda? It's not a fun thing. It's suffering, but it's fun. It's fun if you're into suffering. Because they don't have facilities and food and water and so on, so you have to really be careful. Otherwise you get sick really bad. And so, but Pastor Joel knows all that, so he will do his best to accommodate us. But things are primitive. They're not well set up. But you go because Jesus tells you to go. You don't do things in life that are easy or good. You do things that are tough, that are hard, because you're made for tough, hard. You're made for suffering. How many know you're made for suffering? It's okay. Because it's God who administers that suffering. And therefore, if my Father in heaven thinks that's a good thing, I'm going for it. If he thinks my death, if he thinks my self-destruction is good, I agree with him. Because you know what? You try to live life the other way, it doesn't work. I'll take care of myself. I'll bless myself. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. See what you can do. I tell you, I trust God. I don't trust myself. I don't trust people. I don't trust this world. I don't trust Satan. I don't trust all the temptations of this world. 16, Luke, 16th chapter. All this year, we're not looking at the text to just get some superficial meaning out of it. We're looking deeper into the text. And I say that because God said that to me personally. That means he spoke from heaven. It isn't written down in the Bible, but he actually spoke to me and said, this year, I don't know when. I don't know if he means the whole year. I don't know if he means the beginning. I don't know what he means, but I fear him. If he says something, I tremble at his word. In other words, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey no matter what. This year, I am restoring to my churches pure worship. It means nothing of you in it. Pure means nothing of you. Get that? So I'm going to restore pure worship to my church, my churches, plural, church, singular, to my whole church. I don't even know what he means. I have no clue, and I don't care. I'm just going to, tell you what he told me. I'm not going to make it happen. I'm not going to help it to happen. I'm not going to assist him in any way. I just simply fear that. I believe that. And, judging from me and you, I have no clue as to how God could pull that off. But I believe him. I believe him. And I fear him. So I'm not convincing anybody. I don't want to convince anybody. I'm just telling you what I believe God has said. So, am I a prophet? I say I am. In other words, I believe God has told me I am. But I don't do anything to make that happen or do signs and wonders and so on to make sure everybody knows it. You decide for yourself. Let your own heart judge. If you don't want what God says and you don't fear him, no problem. That's between you and Satan and you and God. That's your freedom. That's your liberty. But if you claim that you know God, then you need to find out, hey, I wonder if what Pastor Jim heard from God is truth. And I wonder if it has anything to do with me. You could ask that. That's what I would do. When someone says something, I don't go to them to find out. I go to God. I go to the Holy Spirit. I want to know, wow, is this for me? Is this the truth? 9 times out of 10, it's not. 9 times out of 10, it's just a person. And wow, have I been wrong in the past? So somebody says, well, how's your record? It's awful, especially on time. You know, especially on figuring out exactly what time, you know. But God spoke to me this year clearly. And I have been right every once in a while, so I don't completely, you know, blow me away. But I'm not, I'm often wrong. I'm often wrong. But I have never said I was right when I said what I said. I just was being faithful. Do you know the difference? Being faithful just simply means this is what I think. But sometimes being faithful says this is exactly what God said, and I'm sure of it. And I've been in near-death experiences over that, and you don't care because you know when God has spoken, it covers everything. I have no fear, zero, zero, zero. I've had knives to my throat. I've had, you know, head split open. All this stuff, it doesn't mean anything to me when you've heard God. So it's always good to hear God because you don't know how big he is. He might be bigger than you think. It could be. I don't know. He could be. For me, I fear him. I used to be, in the old days, as rotten as any person could be, as selfish, as nasty, as deceptive and tricky and treacherous. I've never met anyone more tricky, treacherous, deceptive than myself. I've met my equal, however. I've met people that are, and I've met a lot of hypocrites. But nevertheless, I know what I was. And when I met Jesus, I fell in love with Jesus, and that's the way it's been ever since. I've never turned back. I've never put my hand to the plow and then turned back. Why am I saying all this? Well, first of all, it's because what God spoke to me. But second of all, I believe the Holy Spirit right now is saying that to you. And if you have the fear of God, you may not have the fear of God. If you have the fear of God, then you want to hear what God has to say. You want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. And believe me, I don't really care what's going on politically. I don't care what's going on economically. I don't care what's going on in society, how we're all going to the dogs. I don't care about any of that. I only care about one thing. Has the bride made herself ready? Or is she whoring? Is she adultering? There's a difference. But is she doing something wrong? Is she somehow not being faithful to the Lord her God? Now, that could touch you. If it doesn't, I have nothing to say. It needs to touch you to say, well, that might be an area of my life, maybe one little bitty small area of my life where I am kind of harlotress, where I am kind of adulterating. That's true. I'll just tell you right now, that's true. There is at least one small, teeny weeny, small area of your life where you're adulterating. Could I hear an amen? Yeah. So at least we got some people who know that. And knowing that is really neat because then when God comes to convict you, when the Holy Spirit begins to, you can yield to that. You can yield to it. Otherwise, you won't say, what? What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. That is never, when God says something, all right, who, you know, drew on the wall here? If I didn't do it, I thought of doing it. And if, or I saw the person doing it and I agreed with it, you know, whatever. So I mean, I know there's guilt. Whenever God is pointing the finger, it's me. It's always me. I never go like this. What? It's like, of course. So I am easy to convict. I'm easy to convict. And I believe that's the sign of a Christian. That's the sign of a Christian. But you know, it's also the sign of a good pagan. I mean, there are some pagans out there that are so pagan that they just openly act pagan and admit it. They're just that pagan. A lot of our politicians have had trouble in the last, you know, couple decades admitting all the stuff they've done. They just get up and lie through their teeth. And I love it because they get caught. Because the other team always, you know, they dig up the dirt. I don't know how they get it. Boy, they're good at that. They're sleuths. They're able to point out the wickedness, you know. And so, you know, particularly the Republicans. Now, the Democrats are a lot better. You know, they just, yeah, well, you know, probably not good, but you know, I think the people still vote for me. So the Democrats are not so much hypocrites. They're more, you know, I mean, I could name a bunch of them. They just openly, you know, break the law. And, you know, they have graveyards voting for them and all that stuff. I mean, they're just cool on that and have prostitutes and all kinds of rings and whatnot and so on. So the Democrats are more open about that. They like to maintain somewhat of a cover. But the Republicans, oh, they're really big hypocrites. Because some of their best guys do nasty things. The ones that we, you know, thought God put in place, all that kind of stuff, you know. Y'all, you're not having any fun. And the media, you know, will go after them more. And then a lot of times the Republicans will say, that's not fair, you're going after us, you know, look at all that they did. That's called self-justification. Why am I saying all this? Well, because that's what this passage is about. What's that have to do with worship? Everything. Because if you are self-justifying, you cannot worship God. Because you're worshiping yourself. You're covering yourself. But if you are raw naked before God, and you know it, then worship can come right out of you. Even though one second you're raw naked, bad and nasty, doing all this stuff, and the next second you can be, thank you, Jesus, forgive me, hallelujah. And God will accept that. It's actually why he came. He never thought anybody on earth was not a sinner. You know, he never had that in mind. When he gave the law, he never thought someone will do this. Never. He never thought, well, I'm going to give this law so that at least people are, I'll get some holy people. He never thought that. He thought, I'll give this law to see how many hypocrites I can produce. Listen to the law. Here's the law. I'm going to summarize the law, not give the details. Summarize the law. Be perfect as God is perfect. How many know that all that can do is produce imperfect people or liars who are imperfect? That's all. I mean, what he's saying, because he can say it another way, be like me, because that's what he said. Be perfect as in the same exact way I am. I mean, you know, that doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. You're either perfect like God. So the law was given for Jesus to fulfill because he's God. God gave a law that God could fulfill. You say, what a crazy God. Why didn't he just say so in the first place? Oh, that's good. That is so good. That's a clever idea. Right there. Why doesn't God just, you know, come out with it and say, I know you'll never keep this law. Read carefully. He did. As soon as Moses gave the law, as soon as he gave it, he got up and said, by the way, you know, now that I've given the law and you've all agreed to it, none of you will ever keep this. Moses said that. As soon as he gave the law, he said, you are stiff-necked, stubborn, and rebellious people. And everything, every curse that's in this law belongs to you, because you'll never keep this. I know you Jewish people. He didn't call them Jewish, but that's what he was saying. I know you children of Israel. I know you. Indeed, I know myself. How many know that Moses himself never went into the promised land? He was the guy that gave the law. He gave the law, and yet he himself didn't keep the law that he gave. Isn't that amazing? He's the one that was telling him, now fear God, tremble at his word. And then here he goes and hits the rock twice. The very guy that, you know, the judge that is telling you you've sinned, he's the guy that's doing it. The very pastor that's saying, serve the Lord, he's the guy that's not. Are you hearing me? So, you know, I could be caught someday for all my sins, but I won't be caught for saying I didn't. I mean, that's one virtue is that I don't have any. That's my one virtue. I'm on solid ground. Are you hearing me? So what God wants is not hypocrites. What God wants is not hypocrites. People that lip it. You know, they say it with their lips, but their heart is far from it. Isn't that powerful? I mean, you all know all this. I'm just saying the obvious. I'm saying the problem in the church is not wickedness. It's hypocrisy. I'm going to say it another way. That is our wickedness. That we're going to pretend to God that we're pure when we know we're not. I mean, we know it. But you can actually lie to yourself. That's called repression. You can actually lie to yourself and say, no, I didn't do that. I love that. Don't you love that? That's the old Adam and Eve trick when God comes in the garden and they're hiding from him behind a tree. How many of these, there's a little skinny tree here and they're hiding behind that. Get down, he's coming. Don't you love that? That's a little kid approach. Mom's coming. You know, I love that. Don't you love that? Little kids will do that. The mom opens the door. Oh my God. You know, the little kids giving themselves away. You know, hey, what's going on in here? You know, oh man, little kids just, they don't know how to hide because they're little kids. They don't know how to hide what they did. So their faces are, they're just caught. I love that about little kids. Hey, what's going on in here? Oh, it's so cool. I love that. I did that to my kids. You know, you can listen at the door. It's awfully quiet in there. I wonder if something's going on. Then you open the door. I love that. Are you like that? Oh, Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who could stand? Oh, Lord, if you mark iniquities, I mean, if you're really writing down our sins, who's going to make it? Who's perfect? Oh, it isn't, oh, by the way, it isn't just, well, you tried. No, 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 that's not the law. The law is not try. How many know the law does not say try? Please, just do the best you can. That's not the law. The law is be ye perfect. And the goal in your life, whether you know it or not, is to be just like Christ. Be exactly like God. Be ye holy as I am holy. In the same way I'm holy, I want you to be holy. In the same way I'm perfect, I want you to be perfect. My son, who said, remember Jesus when he came along, he said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. Whoa, what a brother to have. My older brother always does what's pleasing to God. You know what, I don't do that. I am not like that. There's a contrast, my older brother and me. How many know that sometimes you have an older brother or sister, you just can't live up to their standard? It's because you don't know them. They're just fakes. They're just fakes. They're looking like, oh man, I just wish I was as smart and as strong and as whatever, you know, good. But sometimes they're just faking. You know, it does well for a parent, and this is the way I raise my kids. It does well for a parent to have a high law, but also to tell them every once in a while, by the way, your dad also sins. Your mom also sins. Peg wasn't so cool about admitting that, but I was. I want them to know, hey, I'm as rotten as they come. You know what you just did? I did that 50 times. Nevertheless, I'm going to spank you. I mean, they can get that. They can get that. They can get into that. And so my kids to this day, all four of them, they understand, you know, Dad was wicked. There is no hiding of that. They're not sure about Mom because Mom faked it. She faked it more. But they are convinced that Dad is wicked to the hilt. They even know what I've done. I told them. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I've done that. And I wanted them to know I'm not Jesus. I can put a photograph of myself on the refrigerator to help Peggy distinguish between Jesus and me. And put a picture of Jim, and then a picture of Jesus, and then wrote their names under it. So you can tell, don't look at me as though I'm perfect. I'm not pretending that. I'm not faking. How many know you'd be a lot more comfortable if you were like me? Openly admit, hey, I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not even attempting to be. I'm not even trying to be. Sometimes I'm deliberately sinning. I'm a hypocrite, a contradiction, a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. That sounds like would cover me. I mean, if Jesus says that, that's pretty amazing that he'd say, let God be true, but every man, sounds like I'm one of those, a liar. That sounds right. Now, I just want to see a show of hands here for a minute. How many here are liars? Okay, trying to look at checking this thing out. Okay, good. That's good. Then you fit in exactly with that scripture. So you have no problem understanding what it is to lie to pretend, to fake, to hide, not to tell the whole truth. I'm a master at it. I used to even stand in front of the mirror to try to look innocent, knowing I was guilty. I practiced how to do it. When I was a little kid, I was like that, you know. I knew I was a thief, or I was one thing I did, I stole. And I knew as a thief, you shouldn't look like one if you get caught, you know. So I practiced stealing when no one knew it. I was good at it. I was so good. I only got caught one time. I did get caught, though, but I only got caught one time. And that broke me hypocritically for about an hour. You know, that broke me. I cried and so on, but I was faking it. I was faking it. I knew that the Christian school of which I was going to a Christian school, I knew that they would forgive me. I'll just, yes, I did that. You know, when I did that, they fell for that. They oh, he sounds so sincere. Isn't that awful? You see how despicable flesh can be, at least in my case. I don't know about you. I do, actually, but I'll pretend like I don't. Because if you want to wear a mask and you want to pretend, okay, I can pretend like you're not pretending, which I know you are, but I can do that. The truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I'll ask another question. How many here are not only liars, but you're consummate liars? Now, here's a consummate liar. That's even better than just being a normal liar. A normal liar is just someone who knows, here's the truth over here, but I'm going to lie. A consummate liar, I mean, the supreme lie, is to pretend to myself that I'm not a liar. That's called repression. That's not just suppression, like, you know, I know the truth, but I'm going to say a lie. That's just suppression. I just suppressed my flesh. But when you repress, you don't even know yourself. In other words, you lie to yourself about what you know to be true. Isn't that funny how people can be so devious? That's called deception. That's called deception. Thou art self-deceived. You even think you're good when you know you're not. Now, one of the ways we can get away with that is measure yourself to other people. But God doesn't. He just doesn't. The other people are not the standard. Because they're not worthy to be a standard, because they're no different than you are. But anyway, it's Jesus that's the standard. There's the standard, the Son of God, you know. So when you want to be innocent, just go and check to see if you're exactly like Jesus. And here's the neat thing about Jesus. Here's what's neat about Jesus. Though he's perfect, Jesus dies to himself. He doesn't have a self. And the reason he's perfect is not because he's perfect. The reason he's perfect is because he doesn't have a self. He has a self, but he just denies it, just puts it aside, sets it aside. That's called a steward or a trustee. Takes care of somebody else's stuff rather than his own, because the one whose stuff he's taking care of covers him. In other words, don't worry about your stuff, I'll take care of that. Take care of my stuff. That's the Father. So that's why Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. What he's saying is, that's not what makes me perfect. What he's saying is, that's exactly what the law is all about. Don't ever take care of your own stuff, because I've already taken care of you, so you don't have to. Isn't that amazing? I don't need to defend myself from my wife or my church or the wicked out there, whoever wants to judge me. I don't have to, because Jesus already got me covered. You see? Even though I've sinned, here's why he likes me. I am a sinner, but he likes me. He loved me while I was yet wicked. That's amazing to me. He didn't love me when I said, okay, I'll be better from now on, because he knew I was a hypocrite and a liar. He didn't. That's not why he loved me. He didn't love me because I said, I know I'll do better from here on out. That's not why he loved me. He loved me while I was yet wicked, sinful. And I believed him. And he counted that for righteousness. It's like, yeah, but I'm no good. But he counted that as righteousness. Sally, I know you to be sinful and wicked. But do you know that? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Appreciate that. So I've got one member. One member of the church. Did you know that he only justifies the ungodly? You have to be ungodly to be a Christian. To be a Christian, you have to be ungodly. Romans 5:4. He only justifies, only. He will not justify the godly. I came not for the righteous. He didn't come for righteous people, because there aren't any. There's a class of none. Oh yeah, Jesus is righteous, but you know why he's righteous? Because he never did a deed. He never did anything. When they said to him, good teacher, he said, no, none is good but God. And then he said, the deeds that I do, I don't do, but the Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. What an interesting way of looking at it. Jesus said, even the works that I do, I don't do. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Spirit of the Father, which is also my spirit, dwells within me. And so the works that I do, I don't do. He takes no credit. Jesus takes no credit to say, you know, well, the Father liked me because I did good. Did you know that the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus? I know he loves Jesus because he never did anything wrong. No. That's true, he didn't. But the reason he didn't, because he wasn't a self. What maketh thou sin is to be a self, independent of God. It's powerful. It's powerful. When you're a self independent from God, in other words, if Peggy attacks me and I want to defend myself, I'll attack back. I'll even preemptively strike like George Bush. I'll get her first because I know she's coming. But here's the thing. Why defend yourself when God has already approved? I don't need to. I don't need to have a self. I don't need to defend it, supply it. I don't need to defend it or supply it. He's my defender and my supplier. Oh, I love that. Do y'all have this kind of peace? I'll tell you, that's a peace that passes understanding. You got that kind of peace? Where no one can shake you. You've done thus and so. What took you so long to catch me? You know, this is the God's truth. I'm surprised I'm not in prison. I'm surprised. I'm shocked that I'm not dead. Because of all things I've thought and said and done. And I'm surprised that I'm not in prison. I really am. I thank God every day when I get up and take a shower and stuff. I'm just, thank God. I got a warm shower. I just shouldn't have one of these. I don't deserve it. I thank you, Jesus. Because it's amazing that I could laugh in this world. It's amazing. Knowing what I know, I don't even know everything about myself. But what little I know, it's bad. But the amazing thing is, God is so good, I've stopped looking to check myself out. And beholding him, we're changed. That is amazing. I'm not even looking how good I am. I'm looking how I'm not good and there's no point in looking. There's no point in checking out to see whether I was selfish or nasty, because of course I am. But I'm not going to look at that. I'm going to look at what Jesus did for me, in me, through me, because I'm covered by him. The Father sent him to do that. Jesus, I want you to go down there, help Jim out. He is wicked. Just watch him. He's wicked. He'll probably kill you, probably every day. But I'll tell you what, I love him. I just love him so much. Mwah! Just give him a big kiss and hug for me. Well, I like that Jesus, because he's taken me as I am. Little kids understand that. All little kids are naughty. And I love it when they come like this. They go like this. Mommy, I didn't do anything wrong today. I love that. Well, little kids do that. Little kids will do that up to 6, 7 years, you know. They don't do that after that because they know better. But the first few years of their schooling and life and so on, little kids go like that. Bobby did wrong, but I didn't. Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? Did you do what Bobby did? No. I love that. And they feel so good. Don't you think that's precious? And most parents love that. Now, you didn't do wrong, did you? No, ma'am. No, I didn't. Well, good. You get the star. And so a little kid's home with that star. And they're humble about it. They do bring that home. They do bring that home. I knew my Bible verses. I love that. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Except there's this one thing. You need to know that's really not Christianity. I mean, any worldly person could do that. Buddhists do it, Hindus do it, Muslims do it, Jews do it, Catholics do it. You know, I mean, that's just, everybody do it. That's just natural. Atheists do it. Even atheists are proud. They're proud of being an atheist. So no matter who people are, they're all the same, exactly the same. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God, you may be fooling and pretending and stuff, but God doesn't fool and pretend. He just calls a spade a spade. He just calls a horseshoe a horseshoe. He just calls a sinner a sinner. he's not faking it. When God says something is what it is, then that's what it is. That's why they hated Jesus, so they had to kill him, because he was just saying stuff. He's saying stuff. He'd say, you know, truth, because he wasn't speaking for himself. He was speaking for the Father. So listen to Jesus, 16. Now remember, we already went through the guy of the steward. Remember the steward? Remember that last time? Oh, that was good teaching. You should all get that. That's so good. You remember that? Here's God. Here's God. He's the benefactor. Good. Bene means good. Factor means maker. He's the good guy that does everything good. So he's the benefactor. And by the way, none else is good. So a benefactor is good. Okay. And he wants to get his benefactions, his blessings, to you. So here's you, smiley face, happy. This is you. You're the beneficiary of his benefaction. So you're the beneficiary. So now, the thing that makes this work, though, is that God, even though he loves you, God loves you. How many know? The Father himself loved you. What if you're wicked and sinful? Now, God is good, and only God is good. So then, how can this one be good? If only God is good, then this one here cannot be good. That's the way children are. I never told my children, be good. That would be the wrong thing to say. I always said, behave. That's all. Just behave yourself. I want you to say to your sister, you're sorry. And they never meant it. They weren't meaning it. But I just wanted behavior. I wanted hypocrites. I raised my children to be hypocrites. That's all I wanted. I don't care if you're good or bad. I'm going to spank you, and I want you to do what I say. That's it. See, there was no psychological stuff like, now you be good. Or remember, you're a Christian, so you have to be good. I never said that to my kids. I'm not going to lie to them like that. No. Anything good is God. So I just said, you hug your sister. And I remember Kirsten and Carl, the two oldest ones. I remember that I would say, now you go and say you're sorry to your sister. Sorry. And I remember they would do it. That's not very sincere. Did you see how that was? Sorry. I want you to do that with more, expression. Here, I'll show you how it is. I'm sorry. I did sin against you. That, like that. They wouldn't do it. They would not do that. Because little kids have trouble like that. It's hard for them to be hypocritical like that. See, when they're hypocrites, they just show you that they're hypocrites. I'm sorry. They wanted the other one to know, I'm not sorry. You know, so they said I'm sorry, but they knew they were just plain old flat hypocrite. And they don't like it. So they didn't want to do what I told them to do. You know, I want you to say, I'm so sorry. I love you, whatever. I just make them say stuff that they didn't want to say. Don't you see it? And, you know, and they didn't have to go all the way with it, just if they went a little further than sorry. You know, they had to do that. My kids never fought with each other because of that. They didn't have all the stuff that kids, boys and girls have. They didn't do it. My kids are not psychological. They're behavioral. You'll like my kids if you meet them. They're all behavioral. They're just behavioral kids. They do what's right. But deep down inside, only God can do that. Only God can change us so that we actually love one another. See, I don't trust people. If people say, I love you, I don't trust them. Hello. Hello out there. Remember when you get married? You know, you get married and you stand up there. Do you promise and so on and so on and so on. I'm just not a promise keeper. I mean, I just not. But, you know, sure, I promised, you know. But I knew I was a hypocrite. I knew I was a hypocrite. I wasn't caring about Peggy. I was caring about myself. She'll cook. She'll sew. You know, she'll do whatever ladies do. Just do it. Y'all understand? I mean, there was no further for me to go down because I was always down. I'm already on the bottom. I don't believe in this love stuff. I don't believe in it. I don't believe people love each other. Oh yeah, they have a kind of love which is like this. I'll love you if you love me. And that's why people divorce. That's why there's so many divorces. Because it's conditional love. But God's love is unconditional. No conditions. I just love you. Unconditional love. That is not human kind of love. That's unusual. That is not normal. No, it's not even possible. Unconditional love. That's why Jews don't love Muslims. That's why they don't. Because there's no unconditional love. They live next to each other and don't like each other. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you shocked and horrified? And Catholics don't like Protestants, and you know, there's all kinds of, you know, problems among people. But even if you didn't have any neighbors, you wouldn't get along with your own. I mean, let's say you didn't have any neighbors at all. They were all wiped out for some reason. You'd still hate your own. And even if you had no one else in the tribe and you were the only one alone, you'd still hate yourself. Isn't that funny? We just can't get along with people. Dogs, okay. That's okay. You can get yourself a nice dog. I'm telling you, those dogs wag their tail every time you... Does anybody have one of those? I mean, they're unconditional love. Unconditional. That dog, you know, he's so excited. And he just wets, you know, just... He's so excited, you know. That is amazing to me, because people are not like that. They have moods. Dogs don't. They don't have a mood. Like, I'm not feeling like wagging today. They don't do that. Or little fishies in the fishbowl. You know, they're always the same. But people are not like that. Have you noticed that about people? You never know what they're going to do. Has anybody seen that? Figured that out? Okay. So, here is God, the lover. He is, God is love. God is love. Now, he not only has it, he is it. He is love. He doesn't just has love. He is love. We isn't. You know, beneficiary isn't love. Isn't love. I'm going to write that down. That's not what it says, but that's what it says. So, isn't good. Not good. Not good. So, when you love people, you're loving people that are not trustworthy or not good. That's the beauty of being a child. I hope you had a loving family. You don't have to. I didn't. You don't need a loving family. You know, I had three fathers and a mother who wanted to abort me and all this kind of stuff. That's great. That's real, isn't it? I mean, that's real. So what? So the only issue is you're either going to take care of yourself because nobody else likes you. How many know that nobody really likes you? Has anybody figured that out? You have? I got one. Two. Oh, that's awful. But that's the truth. Nobody really likes you. They only like you because you're willing to play a game. It's conditional. If you da 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 da, then I da 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 da. It's just kind of like a deal. And you know, sooner or later, I'm going to break every deal I'm in. If you give me a deal, well, one thing I like about Pastor Jim is I'll break it. I mean, I don't want anyone to ever imagine anything decent about me because it's not true. I was just faking it. I was totally just behaving. See what I mean? I mean, so if you'd say, Pastor Jim, I saw you swear the other day. I don't do that really often. But every once in a while, it seems appropriate. And it's just so accurate. But I don't usually say it because I'm a pastor. But I'm thinking it. It just comes up and it doesn't come out. I just hold it in. And I can hold in snakes and demons and devils really good. I'm good. I know how to do that. But every once in a while, I make a mistake and it just comes right out. Has anybody ever been around somebody like that? You just catch them off guard. See, in church, you're one way, but as soon as you get out in the parking lot, totally different. Totally different. You heard what the pastor said about love? You're not doing it. I love that. Don't you love that? People are total, absolute, amazing hypocrites. But Jesus is not putting pressure on me to not be a hypocrite. Here's what he's saying. He's not saying, I'm going to kill all hypocrites. It's not what he said. You know what he said? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. Now, here's the secret, is this person over here called a trustee, a steward, because that's what this scripture is all about. Gosh, I wish I could teach on this for a month. What is a steward? You know, what's a steward? That's a trustee, someone who's been entrusted to take care of somebody else's property for somebody else. So here, this guy is taking care of this guy's property. So here's his property. Okay, here's what he wants to get, the property, the provision, the allocation, you know, whatever. I want it to go to so-and-so, you know, this much every day so that they're well taken care of. Okay, so there's a law then. He puts out the law. Here's the law. Here's the law of the trust. Here's the property of the trust. And here's the trustee of the trust taking care of the father who created the trust for this one who is the beneficiary of the trust. So that's how a trust works. And there's always an enemy to every trust. I didn't put that up there. But there's always an enemy that hates everything that's on here. They hate the maker of the trust. They hate the person that's getting the trust. They hate the law of the trust. They don't like the law. They hate the property of that trust, try to waste it and get rid of it. And they hate the trustee and want to kill him. And that enemy, in case you all know about it, is Satan. There's always an enemy that's out to get you. Have you ever felt that in life? That, I don't know, it's just everything isn't going my way. Have you ever felt that? Everything's not going my way. Well, you're wrong. Everything is going your way. Everything's going your way. My gosh, you couldn't be more wrong. Yeah, but look at all the stuff. There are other words. Look at all the stuff that's happened to me. Look at all the stuff that's happened to me. And I don't see how God is love. Look at this crappy world. That's the way people think and say. Boy, this stinks. I hate this world. I hate other people, and I hate myself. I hate God, you know. And so, you know what? That's because there's an enemy out there lying to you. He's the liar. He's the master liar. He's the father of lies. When you tell a lie, you're just doing what your father said. Anytime you tell a lie, well, that's why all mankind's liars, because following the father of lies. But here's the neat deal. The neat deal is not what you didn't do and did do. That's not what God's even concerned about. He wants to remake you. He made you this way. And he wants to remake you, rebirth you, create Christ-like beneficiaries. Amen? And that takes a process. There's a threefold process. One, two, three. Now, this one is called discipleship. This one's discipleship. Discipleship. Okay. And this one is like using the rod, suffering. You know, teaching with spanking. I mean, that's how you raise kids. Teach with spanking. Staff with rod. Teach with spanking. You know, so suffering. You know, in fact, if you don't suffer, you won't be glorified. This one is glorified. This is you being like Christ. Glorified. Okay, so here you're mature. This is what you're going to be when you grow up. I mean, know that when you see God someday, you'll be mature. You will be. You don't look mature today because you're under the discipling yet. You're being discipled. How many know that there's still sin in your life? As long as there's sin in your life, he's going to keep teaching you and spanking you. You're not growed up. Even though you may be 21, you're still acting like a four-year-old. I mean, you sense that with people that are actually, they're chronologically mature, but they're actually emotionally immature. Has anybody ever seen that? And it's amazing to me that some people who are 60 are still lying. You'd think they would outgrow that by 35. You would think they would get that. It's the same. Christians are often not Christian. Does anybody notice that? I mean, sometimes Christians behave like pagans. But I tell you why. I know exactly why. They never died. They never died out. See, the whole purpose of being discipled is you take up your cross and you die. In other words, that's what this guy did. See, instead of taking care of the property, the property. There were no more blessings for people. They were in trouble. It's kind of like where the world is today. You know, the world's in trouble today. There are just troubles everywhere. In the world you have trouble. So God apparently is aware of that. Apparently God knows about that. And so a lot of times we don't get the benefits that God intended. He intended, here's his intention. Here's his original intention, what he intended, his plan, his purpose. He intended to get me the kingdom, the blessings. Ah, but something happened, and the bad guy won. The bad guy was able to kill Jesus, steal all the property, and break all the laws. That's the bad guy, in order to defeat and destroy. He wanted to defeat God's purpose and destroy me. Destroy my enjoyment of safety and happiness and, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. How many know that you've been robbed? You know, you've been robbed. You didn't get everything that God intended. God never intended for you to suffer any kind of loss at all. And yet you do. Okay? So, and then he has his own way of suffering, but it's for your good suffering. You know, a spanking is always for your good. Kids will even thank you later in life for the spankings they got. If you don't spank them, you don't love them. The father that loves his son chastens him. If you love your children, you don't just tell them what's right. You spank them. You back it up with force. So they'll be hypocrites. Right? I mean, I don't want you to feel what I'm saying. I just want you to do it. That's all. Just do it. I just want lip service. Sometimes you get those cards, you know, on Father's Day or Mother's Day or whatever, and they say you're the perfect dad. You know, I love those. But they're pure hypocrisy. I mean, they mean them insofar as they can mean them, but also when you tell them no, they get mad at you, the one that was the perfect father. And you should, you know, hold that card up. Look at this card you sent me. Well, that's because those are the only cards they sell. Those are the ones you buy, so they just buy that card and give it to you. And you read it as a parent and fool yourself and think they meant that. It's conditional. Because when you say no to a child, Dad, I need a car. No. When you say no to a child, they don't like you all of a sudden. Anybody notice that? Dad, look, I don't even care what kind it is, just a car. You know? Isn't that powerful? I mean, Dad, I got to have one. And little kids are so desperate, if you were a wise parent, you could negotiate with them right then because they're in the negotiating mood. Well, I don't have enough money for a new car. See, this is a trick. I don't have enough money for a new car. Well, it's just a used car, Dad. A good one, but a used one. Well, I don't know. We have that old one out back. Okay, well, can you fix it? Because they're so desperate. So, you see, you negotiate with them. Am I wrong or what? I don't care what it looks like, just so it's a car. But somebody has to pay for the gas. You see, I'm negotiating. Somebody has to pay for the gas. I'll do it. You will? Well, you'd have to have a job. I'll get one. See, I'm negotiating. You see, I don't just say, yes, I'll go buy you a red Ferrari. I'm not going to do that because they're going to mess it up. How many know they're going to mess it up? Dad, and I swear I will not. I love that. Don't you love people? They're liars, just consummate liars. And they mean that. You know, I've told you many times about all the accidents all four of our kids had. I said, you know, to each one, you know your sister had two accidents or three. You know, I don't know how many car I had. That was the oldest one. Well, Dad, I'm not dumb like her. Oh, cool. Cool. That is cool to hear. So you're not going to have any accidents. No. It isn't time to go, is it? I haven't even gotten into the message. How many know that the background is just as good as the message? Because this message is based upon the background. This stewardship right here is Jesus. All right, skip all the stuff I was going to say. We'll get that later. Let's read it. Chapter 16, verse 9. He had just got done saying, the children of this age are wiser than the children of God, the children of light. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever thought about that? I wonder what that means. That the children of this world are smarter. Remember this unjust, bad steward. This guy was a bad steward, unrighteous. You know, he was only thinking of himself. Remember he said, I'm too weak to dig, and I'm too proud to beg. Remember that? He said that, totally thinking of himself. But then he went and he got money from the debtors for the master, and he ended up doing the right thing for the wrong motives, But the steward was commended by the Lord, the master, who said to him, you know what? You actually got back some of my property. I know you did it for your own self, but I commend you for that. Because the children of this world who are selfish actually have a passion about that. They are plain, flat, cold. They're passionate about mammon, money, and their own protection, their own safety. They're not having a God that takes care of them. They're not thinking the master will take care of me. This guy had no clue as to how good the master was. He thought the master was cruel and that he was going to throw him out because he said he was. That's the law right there. You don't take care of my property and get it to my beneficiary, you're a bad steward, I'm throwing you out according to the law. Do you see that? Well, and then Jesus is telling this story because it's a story. He's telling this story to make a point. And here's his conclusion. Well, the children of this world are wise in their own generation, foolish in terms of heaven, except this guy did right, because here's what he said. Watch this. He didn't care about God at all. He just loved money. There's nobody here like that, because you wouldn't even be in church. You would not be here, even if you're a hypocrite. You wouldn't be here if you just cared for money. You'd be down, you know, doing something else. But this guy said to himself, after he throws me out, because he just said he would, and I took his law seriously. He said he was going to toss me out. After he throws me out, I got to think about my future. I'm too weak to dig. I'm too proud to beg. What's going to happen to me? Ah, I know what I'll do. I'll go to all those debtors, and I'll make friends with them with unrighteous mammon. You owe 100? Write 80. You owe 100? Write 50. He gave them discounts. So they would say to themselves, I like dealing with him. Then after he got tossed out, he could go to them and say, hey, remember how good I was? I saved you 20%, saved you 50%, saved you 75%, you know, whatever. He was using the master's stuff, but to do a good thing, even though it was totally selfish on his part. He commended him and said, you know, you took care of your future as well as your present. You knew you were selfish and nasty. You weren't hiding that. You knew you were. He didn't explain all this, but he's just telling this story because Jesus didn't want to explain it all because he's about to do it. Let's read on. And I say to you, 9, make for yourselves friends from the unrighteous mammon, the unlawful way that you're going about it, that when it fails, they may welcome you into their eternal tents. Now, the world people don't have eternal tents. But what he's saying is, you're thinking about the future. Not because you love God. You don't love God and you know it. You only love yourself. You're nasty. I'm telling you something. God loves that person. Because he said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. I hate it when you're lukewarm. Ooh, that's another whole scripture. But that's what he's saying here. He's commending the guy for being cold. At least you have the passion to take care of yourself. And even though you cheated the master and so on and so forth, the master is actually pleased to get something rather than nothing from you. So he ended up, in his own self-interest, he was trying to take care of his present and his future, and the master commended him, not for how much he got off of him. He commended him because you took care of my interest without knowing it. When you were taking care of yourself, you actually took care of me. I never lose, by the way. The master had plenty. He just didn't know who the master was. He didn't know that his father loved him. He didn't know that. He was not. He didn't think eternity mattered. There's a lot of people in Dallas like that. A lot of people in Dallas are more interested in money in, you know, this world than they are in heaven. There's more people. There's a lot of people in Dallas that are like that. Fort Worth has a few. But in Dallas, there's people here that, I mean, they live for money. They live for it, and they show it off when they've got it. You know, you drive by, you don't see a Jesus out in front. You know, you see, you know, they're showing it off. I'm somebody. I'm, you know, I've got stuff. And they're passionate about it. God actually commends such a person. That's good. In this generation, your only mistake is you thought the future was up until you die. There's actually another one after that. That part you were foolish on. The fool builds those barns to take care of all his stuff. How many here have a little bit? I'm not saying a lot, because I know this is not a bad group. I may have a little bit of lust in you, a little bit of greed in you, a little bit of avarice, quite a bit, yeah. Because you were the first one that really did it. Yes, 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 I see your hand. Yeah, yes. It takes some humility to admit that. To admit that. Is, you know what? I really love this world. I know I'm supposed to hate it. Okay, I hate it. But I don't really. And God can see right through your heart. He can see. He doesn't judge the outward words you say or deeds. He looks right at your heart. And even though he commended the steward, he commended him because he had... Here's one thing he thought. When God gives a law, he gives a law. This is a pagan. This is a steward that's a pagan. And he said, but he at least thought I would keep my law. He knows that I'm righteous at least. But I'm going to use my righteousness to kill him, to destroy him. But at least I'll tell you what I'm going to do. So he comes up with this and he says, good steward. That was good. You got me back part of my money, which I didn't have before. And... Don't pay attention to David. Don't pay attention to David. He's trying to distract everybody here. It's just like the devil himself. He's trying to distract you. Don't pay attention. All right. And what he's saying is the beneficiary, let's say the steward is a bad steward, and he doesn't get anything to the beneficiary. Guess who cares? It's not the steward. God. So let God send Jesus a better steward. That's exactly what he did. I just said, okay, we replace that guy, and I commend him for taking care of himself on that, but also, that's not the last deal, because eternally, the guy's going to perish, because he just worked for this world, but at least he did that, at least he was cold, at least he didn't know me, you know, he could have, but he didn't want to, he didn't know, I actually have plenty more, what I put in here, it wasn't everything I had. How many know that God has more stuff? You could lose everything on this earth, and God has more stuff. You can lose everything on this earth, and you will. By the way, when you die, you have to leave it all. You know, no matter what kind of pyramid you build over your thing, you're going to die. And after a while, you're just going to be bones and ash. I mean, that's it. Let me know that you have a great future ahead. you're going to look bad. I mean, you know, you can see somebody pretty, but... When the worms eat the body and everything, they're not pretty anymore. Yeah, it looks awful. That's your future. So if all you've got is this world, you're in deep trouble. I'd like some more provision here. So Jesus comes along and says, Jim, everything I have is yours, and everything my Father has is mine. So you got everything the Father has. It's the Father's good pleasure. That was his intention right there. It wasn't that you keep the law. It was that he, the steward, would keep the law. A good steward doesn't put the law on the beneficiary, he puts the law on himself. Because he's going to take what was his and get it to the one that he gave it for. The Father wants to give you everything. Do you have it? I may not be seeing it all, but I've got it. Maybe I'm not enjoying it all, but I've got everything I want. I've got everything I need because I know my Father in heaven wouldn't cheat me. You've never heard me complain or gripe. For 35, 40 years, whatever. I have never complained or griped. I don't ever complain or gripe. I don't care how bad, how wicked, how nasty things are. I'm always rejoicing. Woo! Glory! Everything's going my way. Did you just lose something? Yeah. Not really a loss, though. My Father in heaven will make it up. Just get rid of my losses right away. I just cut my losses and move on. I don't even bother with them. I'm not even worried about them. So I was stupid and foolish and the devil was smart and wicked and so on. I don't really care because I always win. And that's my testimony. I always give a good report. Always. Do you? Nobody's eager. Do you? Do you always give a good report about anything that ever happens to you? Ah, it's going to work out. That's just a momentary lag. You know, you just can't see it right now, but I'm rich as could be. I'm lacking nothing. I'm not going to give a bad report when I come and see God. Hey, God, that was stinky. You were really stingy there. You know, you didn't even kill the devil. That guy stole at me and you didn't do anything about it. Oh, yes, I did. I sent Jesus. Did you remember him? Yeah, but he didn't do much. They killed him. No, oh, he jumped up again. Yeah, well, he jumped up, but where's he jumping to? I mean, you know, how come he's not, you know, helping me out? And then a lot of people thanking him. Oh, God, I'm so blessed here in Dallas. That's not the blessing. The blessing is not... food that perishes, mammon that's unrighteous. He said, if you were faithful in unrighteous stuff, I would trust you with greater things. So Jesus came down. He not only had this unrighteous stuff, because God will give you blessings too, physical blessings, health and wealth and all that stuff. That's fine. No problem. He wants that for you. I mean, know that you can't even do anything if you don't have life and health and so on. So you're going to have property, you're going to have wealth and so on. I don't care how many socialists and communists are out there, they'll never win. They totally depend on us. I mean, I could go into a whole deal on that. You know, there's only, just get your eyes on Jesus. Seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. How many believe that? That everything's going my way. Everything is going my way. Now, don't have to look for it. Don't look for it. Just simply say it. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite and say it. No, you're a hypocrite if you don't say it. You're a hypocrite if you don't say it. Because your Father in heaven promised it, and he can't lie. When he says something, he says something. Of course, if you break the law, someone's going to die, but it doesn't have to be you. It could be him. It is him. He's the one that did it. And don't worry about it. Jesus didn't do it because he had faith in his Father. Even if I die, I'll rise again. I mean, he had no worry about it. He said, on the third day, I'll rise again. How many know I said that before his death? He wasn't worried about people hurting him or, you know, not becoming king one time. They wanted to make him king and so on. I missed my opportunity. He wasn't worried about that. And the Father said to him, I want you to go to the cross, not for your sake, not because you did something wrong and you need to die. I want you to go for his sake. He did something wrong. She did something wrong. So this is so cool. This is so cool. All right, now, the one who's faithful in little will also be faithful in much. The one who is unfaithful in little will also be unfaithful in much. 16:11. If then, with unrighteous wealth, mammon, you weren't faithful, who's going to give you and trust to you, put into your trust other riches, the true riches? No one. And if with the thing belonging to another, that's God up here, everything belongs to God. How many know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Everything belongs to God. So if you're missing something, it's only God you need to deal with. Don't deal with the devil who stole it or some trustee who failed. Don't worry about that. It's God. God can redo it. He can do it anytime you want. Just stay right with God. How many know that your Father loves you unconditionally? It's like, God, if you'll do that, I promise I won't sin anymore. That's a condition. There are no conditions with God. Even if you sin some more, he'll still do it. He loves you. He's not going to change his mind. God cannot repent, change his mind. Are you understanding that? Once he says he loves you, he's locked in for all eternity because the guy is eternal. So if he says, I love you, and then you sin all over the place, and he goes, well, I don't love you anymore. He can't do it. The poor guy has to keep his word. He has to. I got him. God. Let me tell you something here. You made a word. I got you on that one. You got to love me. You know, and God has to. If God once obligates himself, because he knows everything, he knows the future, it's just the same as the past. He can't ever lie. That's the one thing about God. He keeps covenant. It's the one thing about me, I don't. The one thing about God, he do. That's so interesting. So interesting. So, if with things belonging to another you're faithful, or you're not faithful, then who's going to give you your own? Who will give you what belongs to you? What does belong to me? Anything God wants to belong to me. He wants everything to go to me, so I get it all. No slave, no servant is able, no trustee, is able to have two masters. You can't serve two masters. For either the one you'll hate and the other you'll love, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You're not able to serve two masters. Isn't that interesting? Did you know that? You're either hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. A lukewarm would be, oh, yes, I love you, God, and then I also love mammon. That's not going to work. If you're really a Christian, you're a Christian. It's all the way or nothing. You got passion for him. You're in love with him. In fact, you can't just say, I'm a Christian, and then be depressed and be sad. Oh, you can do it, but it's a sin. You're wrong. Well, I hate the marriage I'm in. Well, you're wrong. What's wrong with the marriage? Well, the other person's sinning. Who do you think you're married to? And who do you think you are? Well, it's not my fault. It's always your fault. Always. You picked the person. You agreed to it. Well, I wasn't sure.
Oh,
you weren't sure. He deceived me. Oh, cool. Why didn't you ask God?
Well,
I don't know. I should have. I wish I had now. That's too late. You already sinned. See, he's not the sinner. You are. You see, you just trapped him. You actually like this. You lied. You actually said something like this. I'm a nice person. When I get into this marriage, I'll do everything I can. And then I thought you said the same thing, but you didn't. You deceived me. No, 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 no. You lied to that person because you said you weren't going to sin, but you did by picking that person that you knew would. Oh, I didn't know. We should have asked God, because God would have said the person you're going to marry is a wicked, sinful person. Totally selfish. Isn't that amazing? Has anyone ever married anyone else than a wicked, sinful person? Did you know that everybody is selfish? All have sinned and fallen short. So you married one of those fallen short persons. You got one that is a shortfaller. That person didn't make it. You know, here's the Grand Canyon, you know, and you have to jump all the way over, you know, to see if you can make it. Now jump all the way back. Whoa, I didn't make it. So that guy fell short. Now let's say I fell short this far. It's like that. Or I could fall short all the way back. Or further. What a brag. That guy fell short right there. Look how far I fell short. It's a moot point when you get to the bottom. The main thing is you didn't make it. So falling short, you're going to marry somebody who falls short, whether they try a little harder or not so hard at all. Doesn't make any difference. Now, since God's love is unconditional, don't look to your mate to make you happy. Look to the Creator, who has sent a Redeemer, who will die for you on the cross, restore everything, keep the law for you, and then get all the benefit back to you. The Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So after Jesus paid for everything, destroyed the works of the devil, got everything set back in place the way God intended it, He sent the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? I know you're born of the Spirit. You're a believer. But you have to be filled with the Spirit, and you have to be led of the Spirit. Justification, sanctification, glorification. You see, the problem in the church today is we have only this one here, number 5. We don't have 6, and we don't have 7. We need those that are mature in Christ, which, you know what that means? You know what mature means? It means you're dead. That's all it means. It just means you're not doing anything. It just means you're not doing anything. That's why I said worship is pure, because you're not part of it. When you worship God, that means He's already done everything, so there's nothing more to be done. The reason why our worship is pure is, God, thank you for doing everything. Because I couldn't do a lick. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything. I needed the Helper. I needed not only my Savior, I needed my Lord through the Helper, and I needed Him to continue to be my whole life, my beloved. Little children, young men, mature fathers. Scripture is clear in every case. I got 1 minute left. I haven't even gotten to the good part. There's a good part coming. You're going to love this. While He was teaching all this to His disciples, the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, the Pharisees were listening. And they were getting angry, because they heard Him teaching about this, and they were listening exactly to what He was saying. No one can serve two masters. Either hate the one and do the other. So are you gonna serve God? Are you gonna serve God? So here I can serve God, serve. Serve God, be loyal to God, you know, be faithful to God. I can either serve God or mammon. I could go off and serve myself with mammon. Try to get as much mammon as I can for my own account. So either a steward is going to take care of himself and be thrown out, because he is. So either serve God or mammon. So here, we'll write a dollar bill here. You know, you can serve either one. So the Pharisees are listening to it. Now listen to what Jesus says about this. This is so powerful. And He was and was hearing these things, all the Pharisees were hearing these things, being lovers of money. Now, even though that's what it says in the Greek, it's stronger than that. It's stronger than that. The word huparkantes says, it's not just that they were lovers of money. Of course they were. What it's saying is, this is their true being. They are from the beginning lovers of money. They have never become lovers of God. So he's showing what a hypocrite they are. You claim to be religious, but what you really want is money. Mammon. Self. Ego. Pride. You know, in other words, you can't be lukewarm like this. Either hate God or love him. You can't do both. I love God, but I also love this. Ah, you can't do that. How many are glad you came today just to hear that? I mean, that is exciting. Just to hear you can't do both. Have you tried? Yeah, we've tried. Hey, I like this God thing for the future, and I like this money thing for the present. You know, I mean, that's a cool little operation right there. Now, how many know that God will give you all that stuff, because he said he would, but you can't love it? Like, I really got to have it. Like, I love this so much that I'll throw this one away. No, sorry. You either got to be hot or cold. You can't be lukewarm. That's exactly what religious people are, especially the pastors, especially the Pharisees, the rabbis, the priests, whatever you want to call them, imams. Especially them that preach about God, but they're actually taking care of themselves. So he's telling this little story to these people, and all of a sudden he went from telling about a guy with a steward to telling about, you know, be faithful in little and much and all this stuff. And all of a sudden now the Pharisees are listening, and Jesus turns to them. It was one thing talking to his own disciples. Now he's going to apply it, and he's going to say something like this. Don't be like them. They're not good. Do not follow them. I don't know if I'm going to be killed someday for what I teach and preach, but I'm not scared of it. I don't care. But I'm not going to stop preaching just because I'm going to be killed. Because it's like, that's my father allowing it. It's not a big deal. But I might not. The awful thing is that even though I'm so bold and just jump right out there and not afraid of dying, I might not. That you never know what the father's going to do. He might keep me alive just for a joke. You see what I'm saying? Maybe the IRS won't win. Maybe, you know, all the super, super stuff out there won't work. Every once in a while, they're frustrated. You ever notice that? Sometimes he keeps a person alive a little longer than they really should. And in my case, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But in my case, I might live. He might like me. He might like me a lot more than you can imagine. That's just like, you know, Pastor Jim is so, you know, whatever. Well, I know, but I'm me. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm passionately in love with Jesus. I may sin all over the map, but I'm passionately in love with Jesus. I'm not trying to sin. I don't have to. I just do it without even trying. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm totally in love with Jesus. I don't have two eyes. I don't have an eye for over here and an eye for him. I just got one eye, him. You know why? Because he's got an eye for me. His eye is always right on me. My boy Jim, what a mess, but I love him. And that's the only thing I hear. I don't hear about how many mistakes I've made or what kind of lousy person I was or something. I don't care about that. I have no care because he doesn't care. He took all the sin under this law and put it on Jesus and killed him. Now there's none left for me. There's none left. He took care of that. And I believe that, David. I believe that wicked as you can see, I'm still wicked. I don't care. So, well, you should care if you want to be a good pastor. What, be a hypocrite? I know it's not from the heart, by the way. I don't even have a heart of wickedness. I have a new heart right here. I got it. I didn't even do anything. I just got it because Jesus said he wanted it for me, and I believed him. And he counted that for righteousness. So that purified my heart. And now my behavior, I mean, I'm having a little bit of trouble when he disciplines and beats me and spanks me. And I run so many times. Jim, get over here and get your spanking. You know, I'm just like this. Jim, you get over here and get your spanking. No. And he doesn't want, you know, I know he, you know, Jim, now you said you were going to go through this. I know I broke my promise. I don't mean it right now. I know I said I was going to follow you faithfully. You see, you could catch me in that. So I'll just tell you ahead of time. It's not a big deal. Don't waste your time. Get your own sins. Don't be worrying about mine. Get your own, since you hypocrites and liars. You get your own. This is mine. And I'm not helping him, and he knows it. Don't forget Jesus. He died for me. You know, so I'm taking advantage of his offer. You see that? I'm not sinning any less. I'm just dying quicker. You hear what I just said? I sin just as much as everybody else in the room, but I die quicker. I'm easy to convict. Jim, you just lied. I know that. You just exaggerated. I know. I don't care. Because Jesus has already died for that. I'm going to keep my eye on Jesus and not on Jim. Because if I keep my eye on Jim, I'll be a hypocrite. I'll be a liar if I say I'm trying to get rid of all my sin. I'm not. I'm trying to keep both. I'm actually the guy that wants to love God and mammon at the same time. I want everything to go my way, plus I want eternity. I mean, I want the whole ball of wax. And you can lie about that if you want, but he'll catch you. So he says to these Pharisees, here's what he says, even though I know your very existence is to love money. And they were ridiculing him, scoffing at him, reviling him, and making fun or light of Jesus. There's a special word here in the Greek that says, when they heard him say that, they went like this. He's trying to get us. You're nothing, you little child. And they were treating Jesus like a child. They were despising him. You don't know what you're talking about. So Jesus simply was indicting them, saying, you know what you guys are? You don't love God at all. You just love money. You just love mammon. You just love this world. You want all the best in the marketplace and so on. You know, you're using religion as a front, but you're blind leading the blind. That's why the beneficiary is all I have to look at to see how well the beneficiary is doing under your deal. You're not doing well at all. Not only that, they killed Jesus. The beneficiary wasn't getting any of the benefit, and the leaders killed Jesus. And he was the only true trustee. Jesus didn't love mammon. He didn't even hang on to his life. He said, Father, you can take my life anytime you want, because I don't live for myself. I live for Jim. I always put my own name in there because I always like to remember myself. I'm not going to remember you first. I'm going to remember me first. You can't love others until you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, I love myself first because God loved me first. Did you see that? Isn't that awful? I'm using his own words on him. You know, that's why I know I'm sitting down here, but I'm using your own words. So I'm taking advantage of Jesus. He loves it. He loves it. That's what he gave it for. He gave it so I'd do that. He knew I wasn't going to help him. He's doing it all. When little kids do wrong, you can chase them around the table. They're not going to just stay there and get a spanking. You get over here and I'm going to spank you. They run. Little kids are like that. And you can outrun them. How many of you can outrun them? And they usually, they did in my case, anyway. They were good around the table because it's round, you know. Get over here. And then I'd come around and then they'd go around here. And then, you know, they didn't know which way to go because I'd come around the other side. And then you finally catch them. Ah! You know, don't you love that? You ever try to do that with God? You can't get away. Because the guy could out, he could climb over the table or whatever. I can get that little kid so easily. I just love it when they're running. And you understand that? Little kids don't want to be spanked. I don't know why. But they don't like spankings. Spankings are for your good. Why? Because they kill your flesh. Don't kill your spirit. They don't kill your spirit. They don't kill your spirit. All the troubles in your life have never killed what's valuable. You've got a different spirit than the spirit of this world. And when you know that, when you know who he is, he's God is for you, who can be against you? God is totally on your side. You cannot lose. Even if you lost everything, you've lost nothing. Because he can restore everything in any minute and give you again. How many know you don't need a good marriage? You don't need to have a good marriage. You got one. You don't need to see it to believe it. How many of you got good parents? Of course they're not. You don't need to see that to believe it. I think my first father was a one-night stand. I thanked him because he birthed me. Couldn't think of anything else. But that was one thing that he did for me. And so I thanked him for that. I said, Dad, I just want you to know before you even tell me anything, I love you. Totally. And he cried. You know, he that meant something to him because I didn't know anything about him. He worked for Jimmy Hoffa. He was, you know, mafia kind of a guy. And he said to me, well, I wished I could have raised you. And, you know, and I said, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't. You know, because, you know, first of all, you have a big illusion about my mom. Because one of the first things he said, this first thing come out of his mouth, your mother was a good woman. I knew right there he was a liar. I knew it. He said, I remember, and he was just musing back, because he had all this guilt in him, because now he's met his son for the first time in 48 years. He finally met his son. And he said, Mom had a yellow dress on. It was cool. He remembered that. That was vivid to him. And he was so excited to have a son. He had many other children. They were all girls, though. But I was the son, and I was the oldest one. And the girls, there were several of them there still, they were excited about it, too. You should have been here to beat up my, you know, so on. They were ready to use me right away. It was great. I'll tell you what. Thank you, Dad, for bringing me into this world. Not for anything else, just for that. I'm grateful to God. I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you sinning. I thank God that you were wicked and did that. And my mom was not good. You don't know her, you know. You only knew her when she was, you know, 17 or 18 or whatever she was. You don't really know her. And when I went home and I told my mom, Mom, you got to call Dad. You what? You found him? Yeah. Yeah. She was disgusted at that. Let's not bring that up. I say, Mom, you got to call him and tell him that you forgive him and love him, that you sinned against him. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. Yeah, Mom, you got to. You got to. Because he doesn't know Jesus. You got to tell him that you sinned. Take all the guilt away from him. She didn't want to do it. She didn't want to do it. But she did. My mom's neat. She did. She expressed her flesh, then the Spirit spoke. You see that? The Spirit spoke. She called him, and for over an hour, she witnessed about Jesus to him. Praise God. Anyway, story goes on and on. The point is that God wants to do everything. We don't have to cooperate or agree. He'll kill us eventually. How many know that he'll kill us eventually? He eventually is going to get you. As stubborn as you are, how many are stronger than God? I mean, you are so strong that even God can't. He can get you saved, yes, but he's not going to get you to this perfect stage because you're just stubborn. Nah, you're nothing. You're not that powerful. Well, I got so many sins in me and so much stuff. It's nothing. It's nothing. He loves you. He doesn't even looking at that. He already killed all that in Jesus. Just give up. Surrender. Stop that. Anyway, he says all this stuff to these guys, but God knows the hearts of you. Here's what he said. He said to them, you are the ones justifying yourselves. There is the New Testament problem. There is the only problem on earth today. Sin is not a problem. It's self-justification. Self-justification. Don't think God's into sin. He's already taken care of sin with Jesus. He's not onto sin, as far as you're concerned. He's not dealing with your sin. He already dealt with it. What he's dealing with is hypocrisy. The only thing is, don't be lukewarm. You know, if you say you're a Christian, you're a Christian. But by faith, you didn't do anything. You just took it as a gift. If you say you're in love with the world, then love the world. The children of this age are wiser. They at least take care of themselves as best they can. They don't have a God. They don't love God. That's better than to be a hypocrite, to be two-opinioned, you know, trying to go both ways at once. You can't. You can't get anywhere if you're going one way with one oar and one way with the other. Just make up your mind. Which way do you want to go? You want to go all the way with God, or you want to go all the way with mammon? Now, you can't lie. If you want to go all the way with God, he's going to have to do it. If you want to go all the way with mammon, you can do that. You can do that. Everybody here can do that. How many know that I don't really love God? What I love is me being taken care of. Okay, you're taking advantage of God, and kind of like, okay, I just want God to love me, and I don't want to love him back. I just want him to love me. And my love toward him is conditioned on that. Well, you're not very mature, but that's a good start. Take advantage of God. He knows no one's going to come to him genuinely. He's not stupid. He knows that when people come to him, they just want to use him. Hey, God, I've screwed things up. Could you fix that? Thank you. Yeah, he's okay with that. He's okay with that. But he then, when he puts you in this little beneficiary spot, he says, but I want to finish this thing all the way. What's that? Well, we're going to go through little troubles and problems and stuff like that, but you'll be happy later. Who for the joy that was set before him, joy, endured the cross, despising the shame. See, that's the part we don't like. We hate to be shamed. We hate to be despised. But you know what? It's part of the deal. Isn't that neat? That's how you can tell who a true Christian is. Because they don't want to just sit here and take all the goodies. They want to go through here until they're dead, until there's nothing left but Jesus. That's how you can tell. There's a little deal he's got there, a little fire. He burns this little fire here, you know. This little fire. You know, go sent it. Come on, follow me. Ah! Run back here, you know. I don't want to do that part. Ah, I don't want to do that, you know. And we're just trying to stay away from those spankings. He knows that. But he's already rigged all that thing up. He's got it all rigged out. He knows exactly what you like. Don't worry. He'll be over here on this side of the table. He'd come over here. Ha, here's the fire over here. He's got another fire. I thought I was escaping. Oh, that guy's so tricky. He'll be on the other side of the table. I love it. And little kids just panic, you know, when you finally catch them. They hate it. Now, you're going to get a spanking right now. And they run. I love that. I got to go. Praise God. Well, God bless you all. Next week, we'll finish. This is too good. Too good.
Well, hallelujah. God is good.